I want to say in a simpler term than what he said. His was more complicated because he knows things from a different aspect than I do. His was more complicated. He went and done a lot of studying in some languages that I haven't done, and I appreciate you for doing that so that I didn't have to. Because when you share it with me, then I hear the truth. And I didn't have to go through the hours that you put in. And I love that and love what you said. But I want you all to see this right here. It's a battery. It has a plus on one end and it has a minus on the other end. It's called positive and negative. Is one of these ends evil and one of them good? We look at everything that we see and say is negative. We will call it evil.
Yeah.
Because it is something we might not like. We pass our judgment on it and say, oh, that's evil. That's evil. And we'll look at that good end and we'll say, oh, that's good, you know, that's good. The truth is, if you don't have that plus and that minus, you don't get a current through here.
Come on.
There you go.
If we don't have that positive and that negative, we don't get expansion. We don't get growth. We don't get creation.
Amen, that's right.
We have tried our best to do away with that negative because we deemed it evil and we didn't want to have to put up with all of that that we put in that realm and called evil because we didn't like that or somebody else told us it was bad and it was wrong. So we've tried to do that in our own being and said it wasn't part of us. We didn't need it. Let's have extension. Let's go above that. Let's go up to that good end, that positive end, and let's live in that realm. That way that other don't have to touch us. But if you do away with that other realm, you have no creation. You have no growth, and you have no evolution. You have to have positive and negative. You have to have soul and spirit. You have to have ego. As Lynn said, we don't like to say, we look at people and say, you know what, they are so full of themselves, they're just full of ego. And we don't like that. We don't like that. But that ego is a vessel that's taking us.
Yes.
We have to have ego. We don't kill it. We don't get delivered from it. We can't cast it out. We've tried all that in our former days. But we have to know that it is our servant. It is our servant. It's not our master. And that's where we have had it backwards. We have let it be a master to us and rule us. Just as we have let our emotions, we have let our anger, we have let so many things. We'll get around somebody and we'll say, you know, I just don't like the feeling I have when I'm with him. And we go all about our feelings. And we may be pushing back one of the greatest treasures we've ever come across because we didn't like a feeling that we had. Well, the feeling could have been from many other things. Maybe what they went through a few minutes ago. Maybe what you went through a few minutes ago. A lot of things. But because we went by a feeling, we didn't go past it to see what was there. And then we would walk away and say, we don't want to be around that person because we don't like the feeling we're getting with them. Because we've let our feelings be our master. So when we begin to realize the master of the house that we are. And it's like Lynn so beautifully laid out last night, the top hat, the God of us, the Elohim, our top, when we're living in that room, that is our master. Everything below is our servant. It's not to be done away with. It's not to be crucified. It's not to be killed. It's not to be all the things that we said, cast out and all that. It is to become our servant, to help with the veil. We have been given so many wonderful servants.
Yeah.
to serve us
in our own house.
And everything can be complete and in perfect order when we have the servant do our bidding and we have the master in rule. And we all are coming to the place, and some of us have already been there, some of us are just coming to the place where we're recognizing the master. And we're recognizing what's ruling our house. And we're shifting our focus. We're no longer serving the things that we have let be master. I have two sons. And I'm like most parents. I'm very proud of my sons. They can do not much wrong in my eyes. They do a little bit every now and then. But, you know, I'm very proud of them no matter what. I've been very, very blessed that as they were growing up and some of the things that they were typical young men that got into trouble, you know, not serious, but they got into their share and they did their things and they had mom on her knees a lot and, you know, they did all this but I was so blessed when I got to the place that I heard, let me be their God as I am your God. Because they're not mine. I'm the vessel that brought them into this world. And they had their own house to build. They had their own universe. And I was so blessed when I was able to get into peace about them being their own person. And me getting into worry, concern, trying to fix it, trying to help them out with it, let them do it. And that's a great place to finally get to. They've put us through a lot. My best friend here that's known me longer than anybody here, has been through a lot of things with me and seen some of the issues that they put us through when they were growing up. And my youngest one is 33 years old now. And the summer before he was a senior in high school, he had started drinking. And he come into this world thinking he had to be in competition of his brother that's 21 months older than him. He always wanted to prove he was as big as his brother. And he was always competing. And so he get out drinking. And he wanted to prove it every time they start drinking, you know. And they got into a fight one night about the oldest one always thought he was the youngest one's daddy. And he always wanted to tell him what to do. And he told him he'd had enough. He didn't need to have no more. And he said, you're not my boss. I can do what I want to. And, you know, they started this fight. And they were friends. They got up to our house as fast as they could. My oldest one, I mean, they're really going at it with each other. My oldest one goes into the house. He gets a baseball bat. They're big both. They were both in the sports real good and heavy. And he gets a baseball bat. And he brings it out and he hands it to his little brother. And he says, take your best shot. If you think you can handle me, you just take your best shot. So the little brother just rears back and hits him with that baseball bat. And my oldest one's standing there, and I got big boys. And he hits him right across the arm here. I didn't know exactly where he hit him. But as soon as he done it, my oldest one just stood there and just looked at him. And when he realized that he had just reared back and hit his brother with a baseball bat, he just dropped it. And they both just kind of looked at each other and then turned and went away from each other and ended their fight. The oldest one got in his truck and he took off. And their friends come running in the house to wake us up and saying, you know, they're in a fight and you gotta come. And so we go out there. By then that part's over with. And my oldest one's already gone in his truck. I didn't know where he got hit at. I didn't know how injured he was. I had no clue if he was okay. He wasn't okay. I just know he got in his truck and he left. And the other one was standing there, and he took off walking down the road, so his dad went and found him, and he walked him around and brought him in the house, and the friends all left, and the evening went on, and the youngest one's name's Joshua, and the oldest one's Michael, and Joshua, we put him to bed, and my ex-husband sat there with him nearly all night long, just watching him to make sure he still breathed, Just because he had just hit his brother with a baseball bat didn't mean we didn't love him no more. And I was worried. We were worried about the other, and it was before they had cell phones. They didn't have one. We didn't know where he's at. We didn't know how to find him. But we sat with that one that was still home and watched just to make sure he was okay all the rest of the night. And the morning, the other brother who came in, he had went and just parked his truck, and he ended up falling asleep. He didn't realize how long he'd been gone, but he was fine. He was fine. It didn't hurry. And so we had some major discussions the next day, and you know all of this that parents are trying to do with their kids. And I talked to my youngest son, and at that point in time, I was hooked on Diet Coke, was I not, LaQuita? I drank a 3-liter bottle of Diet Coke a day. A 3-liter bottle every day of the week. I would drink a 3-liter bottle of Diet Coke every day. And that was not doing me any good. Yeah, that was not doing me one bit of good. And he had alcohol. So him and I made a little pact together, and I gave up my Diet Coke, and he gave up his alcohol. And so he was doing really good, and I was too. We were just, you know, we kind of made our little pact there. And as that summer progressed on, it came about 4 weeks before school started, and the friends were gathering around the house before school. Some of them were getting ready to go off to college, and some of them were fixing to start into their last year of high school. And one of them had brought some beer to the house, and the youngest son, he still wasn't drinking. So he said, I'm going to run to town, and I'm going to go get me a Dr. Pepper to enjoy while y'all have your beer. And so one by one, I want to go. The only thing they had, what we had big enough for them all to go on, was my oldest son had a short, white bed pickup that he had made, a bed cover that he had put a vinyl cover on the top of it, and they all, 9 of them, got on the back of that truck and sat on that bed cover while 2 of them, my son, youngest son driving, and another one got inside. They went the back roads to town, and the plan was when they got to the edge of the, before they got to the highway, the store was only a couple of blocks away, they were all going to get off and stay there while he went to the store and got what everybody wanted, and then he'd come back, pick them up, and come home. Well, they're all in the back of that truck. 3 of them, 9, for the first time all summer, wore long pants that night. And you know, when you're sitting on vinyl and you've got long pants on, you're going to slide when you got clothing between you. It slid. The ones that had, all the rest had shorts on, their legs stuck to the vinyl. My son's driving down the highway, not speeding. He's just going that back road. He comes, there's a curve and a hump in the road, and he comes out of that curve and that hump, and a big black dog is in the middle of the road, and he swerves the opposite way to miss the dog. The 3 that had the pants on started sliding. Trying to save each other, they end up pulling each other off the truck. And my son went first. Had a bad concussion, scratched his head, but he got okay. The next girl went off, got her elbows all scratched up and her knees all scratched up. But other than that, she was okay. The 3rd girl that went off apparently broke her neck. And the next morning, they let us know they had to fly her to another town, to the hospital, to Abilene, and she had passed away. My youngest son felt like he had killed her. It was a very hard thing for a 17-year-old kid to have to live with that. This girl was fixing to go into college, and he had ended her life, he felt like. And he has had years now, he's 33 now, that he has carried this, that I killed her. He went into the Coast Guard the minute he got out of high school because he said, I got to go save lives because I took one. Now, he wasn't drinking, so there was no problem there with alcohol involved. It was not involved. Had he not been through what he went through with his brother a few months ago, he would have been drinking driving that truck and could be in prison today. See, what looked like a horrible incident with his brother saved his life, really, all down the road, because it caused him to give up the drinking. And he would have been in prison today if he'd been driving that truck, because they'd have got him for manslaughter. But Thank God he had gone down a different path at that time. Well, he carried this thing about this girl's death. She was 18 years old, fixing to go to college. We were just in Florida a few months ago. I'm telling this story to tell you, to when you look back at your life and your kid's life and you start seeing how things fall into place, why incidents happen the way they did, that you look at the reaction, the chain reaction, the cause and the effect, and you go on down, you start seeing the handiwork of God in the situations that you would deem the most tragic situations in your life. And then you start getting a different perspective and realize that wasn't tragedy at all. That was the handiwork of God. But I was there in Florida the first part of March, and me and him were sharing some things. And my parents are in really bad health, and I got a phone call while I was there, and they said they were taking my dad to the hospital, and he was fixing to, his body was shutting down, and it may be just a matter of moments, and he would be dead. Well, here I'm off in Florida now, even further away from them in Oklahoma. I can't get to him, so I don't know, you know. So I tell my son, you know, and we would had discussed that. When we got in the van to leave, before we got out of town, we were going over to Daytona Beach to minister over there. Before we left Orlando, got out of the cab, he calls me, said, "Mama, I had the most profound experience that I've ever had in my life." And I said, "What was that?" And he said, "I was sitting here thinking about Grandpa, and he could be dying, and I almost got jealous that he's fixing to go over into the next realm, and he's going to get to see what's next." And he said, and there was something in me that said, "I want to go see what's next." And he said, when I had that thought, I realized something with that death with Cassie back before high school. He said, "We had planned that, but will we ever come?" And he said, "She chose me to assist her in her crossing over." He said, "She was with us, we were having a good time, laughing and enjoying, but she was with us to raise her vibrations to the highest they could be at the time of her crossing." And he said, "What an honor. What an honor that I got to be a part of her crossing, because it was time for her life here to end and for her to go on to the next, to see what was next." And he said, "I have had a ton lift off of my shoulders."
Wow.
All of these years he carried guilt and shame and regret and all of the pain of thinking he took a precious life. And then he realized, you know, Leon reminded me of something the other day. We were talking about some of this. Our days are numbered before when we get here. We have a number of days that we're going to live out. Her day was numbered. And when it was time, these kids, he said, at that period of time at her home, she was arguing with her parents, her mother, because she didn't want to go to college that year. She wanted to take a year off first. And they wouldn't hear of it. They made her decide which college. They were sending her to San Angelo. She did not want to go to college. She wanted a year off. She was tired of school. And they were arguing all the time about this. But here she was fixing to have to leave to go to college right before this happened. And he said, "She was with us friends. She chose us that her vibrations would be high when she crossed out of here." So when we look at situations now that come into our path, that we would look at and we would say, "How tragic, how sad. Oh, that's terrible." And even when we would look at death, you know, when it says death, where is that sting? It's because when we put it in perspective and realize there is no finality in death. There's worlds to come. And sometimes it's time for us. There comes a point when our day is numbered that it's time to go into that next day. And we may lay this physical body down to do it. We may not. But some of us will. But you do not know. Just because you do not see them with this physical eye, that they didn't pick up that body and have it transformed on the other side when they crossed that point. We will still bury a physical body that will go to dust. But
you know, we could be in two dimensions at one time.
Yeah.
They could pick up that body and already have it transformed and carrying it into their next dimension, their next page of their chapter. It's still in the book. What is written in the book, he said it. It is written in this book. It was written before I come. I come to do thy will, O God. It's written in here. So, how are we going to get away from that? We're not. We're going to do the will. Now, there has been many people that told you the will of God for your life that may not have been the will of God for your life. So don't get hung up in thinking that's got to be a, quote, religious thing that I got to do the will of God. I got to accomplish this, and this, or I didn't get in the will of God. I got to move here, or it's not the will of God. I got to do, you know, that's petty little things. When we come to do the will of God, we will accomplish what we came here to do, because we have already put situations in our lives that were planned ahead of time that we have forgotten to make sure that we accomplish what we come here to accomplish. I look at my son. I've shared he's going through some things again, and it's okay because every time I see them going through something, April the 1st, he calls me and he had an incident. A week later, his other brother had incident at 3:00 in the morning. The other one rolled his truck. They're both fine. But it's like that. When I see these things coming in their life, I know it's time for their awakening. Because these things will not start hitting them until it's time for them to start. It's joining. And it's saying, it's time. It's time.
Wake up.
And it excites me now to see what we would call tragedy. We would call these little incidents that happen that we don't want them to get in trouble. We don't want them to have to face these things, because that I see it as their awakening. When I look back and I see the pattern, the flow of his life and how it's come, I've seen in me, I was raised very, very strict United Pentecostal, if any of you are familiar with that. I was born on a Saturday. And I can almost promise you I was probably in church some moment.
Baptized on Sunday night.
Yeah. And never got to miss. So we went many a time, slept under the pew or on the pew. And then the minute they called off for service, get up and run to the altar because I was scared I was going to die that night and go to hell, so I had to go pray. You know, it was a terrorist church. They put terror in me. It was taught me about a God that didn't exist, that a lot of them still serve today. But thank God it wasn't written in my book to stay there. That was a dark place for me to allow the seed to grow. And when that seed came forth out of that darkness, it took me out of that. I sheltered my kids from that because I didn't want them to go through what I did. Well, they had another darkness to go through. So their seed could grow. And their seed's coming forth now. And I just want to encourage you to look at life differently. Look at life differently. It's in our perception as to how we handle things. It can either drive us mad or we can rejoice. We can worry, which doesn't change a thing, or we can rejoice. And I choose to rejoice. I live in peace. I'm going to stay in that peace. Nothing's going to rob me of that peace. It's not worth it. That I'm not doing away with the negative and perceiving it as evil. I know it takes it for the expansion and the growth. Bless you.
Hasn't this been awesome?
Yes.
How many have enjoyed the weekend?
Yeah.
I have enjoyed it so much. Thank you again. We can never thank Steve and Connie for what they've done. This has been awesome. Thank you all for coming. And I have a confession to make. I've fallen in love again with a whole lot of you. Renewed that. And I've fallen in love for the first time that I remember in this lifetime with Bob and Marie.
Yes, amen.
It's just been awesome to get to be with all of y'all and share. And I woke up this morning and it all just kind of came to me. When we first started talking about this, we had talked about going to Hot Springs. And there was nothing open there. And this place, Steve had found this place and it opened up. This was open. And I don't know if a lot of you realize it, but this apparently is a very popular place around here for weddings. From what I understand, they're booked up for the next 2 years every weekend for weddings. And I know there was one Friday night and there was one Saturday, and there might have been more than one on Saturday. I don't know. I know of two that I saw. And I don't think it's been any accident that we're here. They're celebrating a 35th anniversary, and we're here at a place where a lot of weddings, a lot of unions are performed. And we've had a wedding this weekend in here. Lynn and Barbara had so beautifully performed ceremonies in here that y'all didn't realize, but we have had a true union of spirit and soul of our male and female inside us. I feel a union in me from this weekend that I haven't felt before. We've talked about it many times. We've talked about the marriage. We've talked about it. We've studied about it. We've read about it. We've taught. We've told others, and we've listened. But we have, Lynn so beautifully laid this out and showed us this, our being. And we have seen this union this weekend like we've never experienced it before, or for me, like I've never experienced it before. I feel like I got married this weekend. I had a marriage all in me. And when he was singing, you are my peace. When we're singing, we're not singing to something out of here of us. This right here, this is my peace.
Yes, yes.
Because this is where it sets. You are my peace. And I don't have to look anymore and put it outside myself. We keep looking for something outside us to come and bring us peace. And we get temporary peace from that. The only thing about it, when it's outside us, it can be taken away from us. But when we have it in us, no one can take that away if we don't allow it. No one. We have to allow it to be taken away. And that's what's so awesome about finding that in us, that peace that's in us. I have just, I can't express to you this morning my heart. And I know there's so many of you here that I wish I could just spend hours with just to hear out of your book. Because that you were all so full of the knowledge that we have learned, the revelation, our experiences that have taught us, that are bringing this all into our own expression. And to hear it out of each of you, I mean, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. It's beautiful to see the expression between Bob and Marie just now. That is beautiful. And Bob to not be afraid to express that to your wife in front of a group of people. There's a lot of men that would be shy about that. They wouldn't feel comfortable doing that. But you were willing to do that, and it's beautiful. It's beautiful to have that expression and see that between each other. And just this has just been such an awesome time of sharing and of just communicating and just experience. And I do believe we have definitely been a major part this weekend of raising the vibration frequency in Arkansas, which has gone way out to the world because there's no limitations in spirit. So I just wanted just to express my heart to y'all and just tell y'all how much I love you and how much we appreciate each one of you. And if I haven't got around to get to hug your neck yet or tell you that personally, I'm telling you now. Love you all.